course, to not. What happened? Apparently that was a joke. Yeah, yeah. I thought you had it. Well, didn't you tell me you could play the piano? You did too. Did she not tell me, Cole, did she tell me she could play the piano? No, you're shaking your head. No, dude, not at all. Excuse me. I just choked on a cough drop. Is everybody all right? I thought they were supposed to make you not cough. And right now I got one that's it's tickling me right now, all right? And I tried to get rid of it, all right? But anyhow, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And Brother Scott didn't know what I was going to preach tonight, but he was all over it. And I'm going to preach on the subject, and I've titled this Fear. Is everybody all right? And so we're going to look at that. And I've tried to avoid preaching about pandemics and all of this other mess during the whole thing. I have mentioned it several times in sermons, but I've really tried to stay away from it. But I feel like our Bible Institute, we kind of dealt with 2 Timothy last night, and just kind of, Lord, just kind of impressed upon my heart to maybe do the same tonight as we look at one verse, and that's verse number 7. The Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I'm going to read that again. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I'm going to read that again. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Let me see if I can emphasize the right word here. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." But he has given us the spirit of what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's questionable in some way. Okay. But in all actuality, that is not, that sound mind is sort of what you and I would think about it, but I'll define it later as we get into this. I'll define it probably at the end. But anyhow, we're going to look at this subject of fear, because right now, fear is what is motivating our entire country. It's been that way since March. And this fear that is motivating our country has motivated our elections. And by the way, I do feel like our elections were compromised. I believe there's plenty of evidence to suggest that. And I think that we're seeing just how powerless we are and how much our voice has been lost when it comes to our country. We no longer decide elections. They're decided for us. And that's a dangerous place to be. They want to take away our Second Amendment rights, but even the rights that we have now would not accomplish what the Second Amendment was there for to begin with. The Second Amendment was there and in place so that no government would have more power over the people. And now, best I can do is get my little AR-15 and go against a drone that I can't even see. Is everybody all right? Yeah, we're losing that race. It's no longer everybody got muskets. So we've come a long way, but now we see another attack, if you will. And this attack is on our freedoms, and this attack is through the motivation of fear. Why? Because we all have fear. Everybody all right? Fear's not a bad thing. Amen. Somebody got a pocket knife? Jesse, you got a pocket knife, don't you? I left mine on my desk. And I have to leave mine on my desk. I start getting worried about cutting somebody. Baptist. But anyhow, Blake, I'm going to throw this knife to you, all right? And I want you to catch it. Huh? Why not? You can't catch. Is that the only problem? It's going to stab her, she says. There's a fear that in this current condition, if I throw it to her, there's going to be, and now is that a bad thing? I need somebody to help me, y'all. This ain't, I mean, this is elementary stuff, all right? Anybody else want me to throw a knife at them? All right? So are we okay to have fear over somebody throwing a stinking knife at us? man, I have to get on like second grade stuff to do with this. Is everybody all right? It's simple. Fear is a good thing. Fear keeps me from sticking my hand in a radiator. Fear keeps me from sticking my hand in a fan in the motor, right? Growing up on the farm, being around the farm, how many of you remember it? Sometimes you get in the car, you crank it up, and y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't want to get your hand in there. Some of y'all, they ain't got a clue. Y'all just hang with us, all right? You're too young to know anything about stuff like that. But anyhow, we have fear, and fear's in place to help us. It is. It's a natural thing. It's in place to help us. Fear and all fear isn't bad. So there's good fear. There's things that you and I need to fear because that's what keeps us from losing fingers. Right? It's called being smart, Ms. CC says. But I mean, fear helps us to navigate life, all right? But where there is plenty of fear that is good, there's also plenty of fear that is bad, all right? And so right now, our government, and we're being told that fear, we're being told that there's something out there that we can't see and it's going to kill us. And since we can't see it, Miss Carrie, can you put up the picture of all the people that we have up there? Since we cannot see what's supposed to kill us, they've told us that we need to wear masks. And so we go around wearing masks, and all masks are, is everybody all right, is a way for us to identify fear. Y'all might not like me after this, but I'm going to go ahead with it, all right? Because I'm tired of it. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of people that can't come to church because they're worried about a virus, but then posting pictures on the internet and they're at ball games, they're at restaurants, they're doing everything that they've always done except church. Because gathering at church, according to our government, is where you contract the disease. There's no way for you to get it in Walmart. Huh? I mean, hey, that you go in Walmart and there ain't no telling what you might see. You can't take your kids in Walmart because it's X-rated. Is everybody all right? Somebody show up and they in their pajamas doing shopping. I need somebody to help me. I'm talking about got underwear over their face and everybody's okay with that. Because you can't get the disease at Walmart. The virus doesn't work at Walmart. Right? Virus don't work there, Jesse. It just doesn't work at Walmart. Now, it will work at a small retail store. Okay, because it'll work. I mean, it'll kill everybody in there just for even going into a building that's just one room. But now if we get in a building with 5,000 people in it, we're good. Okay, is everybody all right? I'm just throwing some stuff out there, okay? I can walk to my chair in a restaurant as long as I have a mask on because the virus is okay. I mean, it'll leave you alone as long as you got a mask on walking to your chair. But as soon as your butt hits the chair, no more virus. Take the mask off, eat, drink, and be merry. People walk by you and no virus because you are sitting down. You're sitting down. And because you're sitting down, you're safe. Because the virus is so smart that it knows they're sitting down. But that means they're off limits. And so I'm just going to sit here and wait for that one dude that walks through here that refuses to put his mask on. I'm going to jump on him. Is everybody all right? We go to get checked. We're told, Brother Kenny, that I've got to maintain 6 foot of distance from you because the virus is so contagious that if I'm within a 6-foot bubble of you, you're going to get it.
Right.
And we pull up to the health department to get checked, thinking it ought to be simple, just swab my mouth. If it's so contagious that I can give it to somebody if I get within 6 feet of them, but no, they got to scratch your brain. Is everybody all right? To figure out that you have a virus. They got to go up and touch somewhere up in here. When they said that just by being within 6 foot of somebody, they're going to get it. I got to wear a mask or everybody's going to get it. But for whatever reason, we can't swab somebody's mouth and come up with it. I have a problem with it. I remember Nick Saban when Georgia played Alabama this year. He tested positive for COVID. Nick Saban makes millions of dollars a year, has the best facilities, the best doctors. You would think that he had the best testing kits of everybody available. And yet he had a false positive. And is everybody all right? Joe Blow that goes down to the health department, gets swabbed, and there ain't no doubt you got COVID. I'm struggling. We closed down churches. I read today, and I can't remember what state it was in. They closed down churches. They closed down restaurants. But the casinos are open. Because the virus won't get you in the restaurant. It won't get you in the casino, but it'll jump all over you in the restaurant. So we can go into the casino and we can be around. Everything's all right as long as we're giving money. I need somebody to help me. We're being told all these conflicting things. People in our church has gotten COVID. They went up there and got tested, come back positive for COVID. You can't do nothing for 10 days. Okay. Well, I don't feel, I'm not sick. I don't feel bad. What are 10 days? So do I come back up here and get tested? No. Don't need to get tested. After 10 days, you're good. Okay, so we're not worried. I got COVID and after 10 days, it's gone, right? So I don't have to get tested. Is everybody all right? When I know people that's been tested for 3 weeks and come back with positives for 3 weeks. Or was it a false positive? We get tested and they tell us you got to wait 10 days. You got to wait 10 days. And they say, hey, don't do nothing. You stay at the house. You don't do anything. Well, what about my kids? What do I do with them? Send them to school. It's okay. Well, wait a minute. We got one kid. This kid can't come to school because there's a good chance that he's been in contact with somebody that has COVID. Well, what about all the kids that I got three more kids that share the same bedroom and the same bed. Do I need to keep all them home? No, they're good. Is everybody all right? I'm just kind of talking through this. I'm getting somewhere. We've allowed the government to dictate our every move. They tell us you can't have people over for Thanksgiving. No more than 10. Y'all have to socially distance. All right. And you have to do all these things. We don't need to be doing Christmas. You don't need to be traveling. They're dictating what you can do in your house. How are they doing that? How are they getting away with that? Y'all help me. So somebody said it. Fear. Fear. Not a good fear. Not a good fear. We were told at the beginning of this thing, Brother Scott, that masks were dumb. They weren't going to save you from no virus. Because the virus was so small that it passed right through these masks. And unless you had an N95 mask, you were wasting your time. Now they say put anything on your head. Put a dirty pair of underwear on there. It's good. Right? As long as you got a piece of cloth or something covering it, you're fine. All right? But yet we've had more cases of the virus since we began wearing masks than we did before we were wearing masks when we didn't know nothing about it. But the mask is there to keep us a visual of fear. As long as you see that, it's still there. And it's still going to jump on you when you walk through the restaurant. Because we live in fear. Our churches have been decimated by it. Our finances in the church have been really and truthfully almost better. So I'm not saying this because I want more money. I'm not saying this because the church is hurting financially. I'm saying this because good people are being motivated, manipulated by fear. There's people that hadn't stepped foot in our church since March of this year because of COVID, but yet it doesn't affect any other part of their life. They go to work with piles of people. They come in contact with piles of people. They go to the same restaurants with other people. They go to the same stores with other people. Is everybody with me? We've allowed fear. I got to hurry. We've allowed fear. Fear is a good thing. And it is needed. But there is some fear that you and I have to dispel. There's a fear that you and I should have. And I'm going to read real quickly, as fast as I can, some verses that I wrote down. That's good fear. Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Bible says serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Bible says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Let all the earth, the Bible says, fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Surely his salvation is nigh unto them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. So there's some good fear, right? We ought to fear the Lord. When we fear the Lord, we demonstrate faith. The absence of faith is fear. Is everybody all right? So we're told that we're to fear the Lord. That's a good fear, and everybody should fear the Lord. By fearing the Lord, it demonstrates faith. Now it seems contradictory, but it's really not. What we're really saying is this, that if I fear the Lord and I trust the Lord, then I have nothing else to fear. All right? So the absence of faith in my life is fear. But faith in my life is fear towards him. Is everybody with me? Am I getting it? Is everybody understand what I'm saying here? So for us to demonstrate faith, it is to fear him. By fearing him, we won't fear that. Right? As we look at this, there are things that we should fear. But then there are things that we shouldn't fear. David said this. He says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of my enemy." From fear of my enemy. David says in Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So we know we're not supposed to fear man. We know we're not supposed to fear evil. Is everybody getting where I'm going right here? "For thou art with me." As we get back to our scripture tonight, I want to look at three things and I'll be done. I want you to first look at the source of fear with me, if you will. We know that the fear is good. We know in places that fear is good. Fear will keep us, will guard us. But the wrong kind of fear, which I believe is what we're living in right now. Is everybody all right? I believe there was a time when we did have a good, healthy fear of a virus, but I think we're living in a time now where the healthy fear of the virus is gone. And so we have to look at the author of fear, or the source of fear, and that is Satan. Right? "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." That word fear right there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7, literally means cowardice. God has not given us the fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear or cowardice. So when we look at this, we notice that if we have fear, somebody help me, that is unhealthy. Where does that fear come from? I believe, is everybody all right if I say this? I believe that what we're experiencing in America is a satanic attack. I think what the church is experiencing is a satanic attack. I don't think we should be worried about the government near as much as we worry about who's really attacking us, and that's Satan. And let me say something. He's winning. He's winning when it comes to the church. Because, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But that doesn't mean it ain't going to beat the church down. And right now, I think, Brother Scott, I think Satan is winning the battle. I think good Christians, I think there's some Christians out there that are being driven by fear. Not a healthy fear. See, a healthy fear, if you're so afraid of the virus, then you wouldn't go anywhere. I just gonna need somebody to help me. Don't sit here and tell me that you're scared of the virus and we ought to be scared of the virus, but you go to work. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't tell me that you're scared of the virus and so you're not gonna come to church, but you go to work. You go to every other place that you could possibly want to go. You live your life just like you want to live. The only thing that the virus is keeping you out of is church. Then that virus, I need somebody to help me, is Satan. If the only place that you're limiting your attendance is in the church house, then I think it's safe to say that this is a satanic attack. And it's not a healthy fear. So we look at the author of fear. We see that God's not the author of it. If God's not the author of it, then obviously Satan is authoring this fear. We see the actions of fear. The actions of fear. I'm moving quickly. The actions of fear. Number one, fear cancels out faith. Fear cancels out faith. The Bible tells us this. It is appointed unto man. Now, I want you to notice that the Bible says it is appointed. As in past tense. It's appointed unto man. There's somewhere, Brother Scott, and I don't know where it's at, but there's somewhere that your death date's written down. And when you come to that day, it don't matter if you're hiding in your house, sitting in your car, or in your little bunker up underneath your house that y'all built for the Cuban Missile Crisis. Everybody with me? You going down. So fear cancels out faith. Now, obviously, everybody all right? Because I don't want to make anybody mad. But obviously, there are those that need to take more precautions. But if you're going about your life doing everything that don't, and the only thing that's really affected by this virus in your life is church attendance, then it's not a healthy fear. Fear cancels out faith. Number two, fear cancels or causes faulty thinking. It causes faulty thinking. Fear will get you in trouble. I need somebody to help me. I remember Brother Mike Norman gave an illustration one time of a hawk, and he said, old rabbit will be hid. And he said, that hawk will come through, and that hawk will give that screech. And he said, that rabbit sitting up under there, that hawk doesn't see that rabbit, because that rabbit is well hid. Everything that God gave that rabbit, God has provided that rabbit the correct camouflage, and that rabbit is hid. He said, but that hawk could fly through and it'll squeal. And when it does, it puts fear into that rabbit. And that rabbit thinks that that hawk has seen him. And so that rabbit leaves the safety, the cover that God has given it, God has given to it. And it takes off running. And because of that, the hawk is able to catch the rabbit. Fear causes faulty thinking. Fear causes or brings us to illogical conclusions. Man, I think I give us enough of them right there at the beginning of the service, so I'm not going to go over them again. But we've come to some pretty stupid thinking and illogical conclusions about this thing. All small businesses have to shut down, but Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart and Target and everything, they can stay open. I mean, the casino can stay open, but the church can't. Bar can stay open, but the church can't. Restaurants can open as long as you wear a mask. For 10 feet to your seat. But as soon I'm going to start carrying a chair with casters on it. And I'm going to come in a restaurant and be like, you got to put on a mask till you get seated. Is everybody all right? Am I good? I'm sitting down. But number four, fear hinders our service. And we've seen this in our own lives. We've seen this in our own church. Fear hinders our service. I ain't talking about church service. I'm talking about a service for the Lord. You can see that. Go beyond. Let's go back before the virus. Let's go back before the fear of the virus. And let's look at the fear that some of us have allowed to keep us from serving the Lord. I can't speak in front of people. I can't do this or I can't do that, and so I can't serve in the church. Fear hinders our service. And it's doing that very thing to people right now. And I know people are going to get mad, and people are going to have all kind of, people are going to excuse every way they can. They're going to excuse their absence from the church. But what people don't realize is how hypocritical you really are when you're posting all of this stuff on Facebook and not coming to church. So before you go and jump on all of that, make sure you go back on all of your Facebook and social media and make sure you're not making a fool out of yourself. Because if the only place that you can't make it is church, then you got the wrong kind of fear. This fear ain't right. Right? All right. We see the author of fear, we see the actions of fear. But I want you to notice the antidote of fear right here in verse number 7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That spirit of power is to overcome. That spirit of power isn't to perform miracles and get rid of a virus. It is to overcome fear. That spirit of power lives and indwells in every believer. It's called the, I need somebody to help me right here, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We have it living inside of us. And it gives us the power over fear. The Bible tells us we got the spirit of power here, but the Bible says and of love. I'm reminded of First John 4:17-18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That was 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 18. So the antidote to fear is a spirit of power, which was given to us when we got saved. A spirit of love, which we're told perfect love casteth out fear. All right. Where do you think that love ought to be directed? Thank you, Brother Mark. I was like, man, to the Lord. If I love him, perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love brings me to a trust in him. Hey, listen, is everybody all right? Perfect love brings me to a trust in him that no matter if I get the virus and I die tomorrow, it's his will. Perfect love casteth out fear. There's no need for me to fear I was going to die of a virus or die of being shot by one of y'all or die of, is everybody all right? I don't know how I'm going out. I really don't. All I know is this, I want to go out quick. Might be rough on my family, but I just want to go out quick. I ain't gonna lie to you. I just want to be and I'm done. I've already written out how my funeral's gonna go. Is everybody all right? We're gonna sing some great hymns. First one's gonna be "Take This Job and Shove." Oh, Johnny Paycheck. Everybody all right? I ain't working here. Amen. Michelle's got it all ready. She knows. That's one of the first ones. First song. Hey, everybody all right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I told you I was going to give you the definition of a sound mind. I'm done. It literally means not disciple, my wife. I love you. It means discipline. You did all right. You're good. You did good. She was doing it very quickly. Sound mind literally means discipline, self-control. God's given us a spirit of power. That spirit lives within us. God's given us spirit of love. Perfect love towards him casteth out fear. But God's given us a spirit of a sound mind, a discipline. Because naturally, we fear, as Brother Scott said earlier. It's natural. The disciples, they're out there on that boat. Ah, we're going to die. Jesus, you got to hear us. Your cries have awoken the master. Everybody remember? How did he answer them? Say it. O ye of little faith. That ain't all he said. Why are ye so fearful? Oh, ye a little faith. Why are ye so fearful? See, he didn't just throw out the "oh, ye a little faith" in a broad spectrum. He told them exactly why he was saying they had little faith. Because you're in fear. Can I put it in cotton patch language? He said, why are you scared? I'm here. What's your fear? I'm here. If my trust is where it needs to be, what's my fear? He's here. If my love is perfect for him, then what's the fear? He's here. And I'm going to take it a step further because they didn't have the Holy Spirit living within them at that time. They had the promise of a comforter. You and I have it. So why are you scared? If you're saved, he's here. If you're saved, he's here. So if I'm living in fear, then I am not living in the spirit of power, spirit of love, and of a sound mind. It just makes sense. It makes sense to me. I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but I mean, how long do we keep on with this? It's been March. Now they got a vaccination coming out and they're threatening. Hey, we're going to make you take a vaccination. Good luck with that, brother. That's all I can tell you. Hey, it's on. Is everybody all right? I even feel like Doc Holliday. I'm your Huckleberry. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I promise you, before you stick a vaccination in me, I'm taking somebody out. We all going to heaven. Well, they probably ain't, but y'all get what I'm saying. I'm your Huckleberry. Say when. Say when. We literally, we got a vaccination that they tell us is going to work. But yet we have a vaccination for the flu that doesn't. How long have they been working on the flu vaccination? Somebody help me. Forever, and we still had a flu? And they concocted something in a matter of months and convinced you because of fear that it's going to take care of, hey, it's all you need. Now, Dr. Pepper there, he's telling everybody, hey, if you take the vaccination, you might still get it. Makes me want to run out there and get it. I seen something today. It made perfect sense. Mail it to me. I'll take it and mail you back a certification saying I did. I do a mail-in vaccination. Amen? But we're being told that we need a vaccination for a virus that has a 99.9% recovery rate. That's right. We're living in fear. And it's crept its way into the church. And it's affected some very good people. And it's time to wake up. If I get it tomorrow, listen to me. Then it's the Lord's will.
That's right.
Sorry. If I get it tomorrow, it is the Lord's will.
That's right.
And if I do, if Michelle gets it first, I am not quarantining from her. Is everybody all right? Ain't nothing getting me out from away from her. So we all going to get it. So, are we going to continue to live in fear? Are we going to live in the spirit that God has given us, a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind? Discipline. There's things that I'm scared of that I still do. There's time, you know, that I still been preaching for, I don't know, since 2005, I think. And there's still, Jesse, there's still crowds that I stand up in front of that I have fear. But you know what I do? I discipline, sound mind discipline. I stand up in fear and trust God and his word.
Amen.
And I come out on the backside of that thing and people are like, man, that's one of the best messages I ever heard. I'm trying to put on a mic. Am I right? It's natural. But discipline. I'm not given the, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Right.
Had to tell young Timothy this because apparently Timothy had a little problem being timid. Paul said, that ain't God doing that to you. God's given you a spirit of power to overcome that fear. He's given you a spirit of love. That perfect love will cast out all fear. He's given you a spirit of sound mind. You do what God's called you to do. I need somebody to help me. You do what God tells you to do and trust God with the results. Come to a piano, if you will. Let's do this. I don't even know how to give an invitation on this, but to ask you to come here and pray for our church, not you. Pray for some of the folks that have gotten caught up in this, that haven't returned, haven't been back. I don't want you to pray for God's judgment on them. I want you to pray that the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of sound mind will overwhelm them and cast out this spirit of fear that is motivating them and driving them. Pray for our country that this political attack, this satanic attack, will be overcome by Christians with a spirit of power, spirit of love, spirit of sound mind. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, thanking you, Lord, for church service. Lord, I want to thank you for the people that are here, the people that have been faithful through all of this, the people that have been faithful to come, faithful to your word. Lord, I thank you for each one of them. Lord, I'm thankful for those that can't be here tonight. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they have dealt with COVID and they're at the house. God, I thank you for them. Lord, they've been faithful when they can. Lord, they've been here when they can. Lord, I'm not here to beat up anybody. I really didn't. I didn't come to beat up anybody. I come to show how we have allowed something to manipulate us. Allowed something to come between you and us. It's affected our worship. It's affected our attendance. It's affected our service. God, I pray, Lord, that as we lay our head down on a pillow, it won't be in fear tonight. But Lord, we'll have perfect love. Lord, understanding that God, if it be your will. God, I pray that you'd touch us. Lord, be with us. Lord, as we leave out of here, Lord, I pray that none of us get an arrogant spirit about it. But God, I pray that we put our devotion and our mind, our heart on you and cast out this fear. God, I pray that you would once again build your church here at Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, use us as instruments. Lord, to get a message of grace, a message of love out to a people in need, a people living in fear. God, I thank you, Lord, for the salvation, the surety, the truth, Lord, that we stand upon in your word. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would use us to deliver that message to others. See you.